Well, good morning. Have you ever found yourself, or do you find yourself, in a tough situation that seems to be inescapable, and then it takes a turn for the worse, being dark and oppressive? Sometimes this is our fault, caused by poor decisions, or being disciplined for sin in our life. But often, it happens through no fault of our own. Illness, a dead-end job, a bad marriage, or like Joseph, an unloving family. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. Joseph at one moment is a young man starting his life with a dream that God would lift him up. And then, due to no fault of his own, he is thrown into a pit, into a dark dungeon, a prison. But through all this, he knows and trusts that God will keep his promises. So he just keeps keeping on, waiting and wondering, when will God deliver on his promises? This morning our reading is taken from Genesis chapter 40. If you open up your Bibles there, I'll be reading out of the NASB. Genesis 40, verses 1 to 23. Then it came about after these things, the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was furious with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. So he put them in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard, in the jail, the same place where Joseph was imprisoned. The captain of the bodyguard put Joseph in charge of them, and he took care of them, and they were in confinement for some time. Then the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt, who were confined in jail, both had a dream the same night, each man with his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning and observed them, behold, they were dejected. They asked Pharaoh's officials who were with him in confinement in his master's house, "Why are your faces so sad today?" Then they said to him, "We have had a dream, and there is no one to interpret it." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell it to me, please." So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, behold, there was a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches, and it was budding, its blossoms came out, and its clusters produced ripe grapes. Now Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, so I took the grapes and squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I put the cup into Pharaoh's hand." Then Joseph said to them, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you will put Pharaoh's cup into his hand according to your former custom when you were his cupbearer. Only keep me in mind when it goes well with you, and please do me a kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For I was in fact kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing that they should have put me into the dungeon." When the chief baker saw that he had interpreted favorably, he said to Joseph, I also saw in my dream, and behold, there were 3 baskets of white bread on my head, and in the top basket there were some of all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, and the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. Then Joseph answered and said, "This is its interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and will hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh off you." Thus it came about on the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his office, and he put the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker just as Pharaoh had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. This situation with Joseph started way back when God made a promise to his great-grandfather, Abraham. In regards to his descendants being more numerous than the stars, and that one of them would be the seed of the Redeemer. And we see in Genesis 37, Joseph had two dreams, one where he is lifted up, and another where his brothers bow down, or when his whole family bows down. When they heard his dreams, they hated him. And in Genesis 37, 19 to 20, they said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Now then, come and let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits, and we will say, 'A wild beast devoured him.' Then let us see what will become of his dreams." And verse 24, "And they took him and threw him into the pit. Now the pit was empty without any water in it. And then his brothers sold him to a caravan of Ishmaelites on their way down to Egypt. And they sold Egypt, those Ishmaelites sold Joseph to Potiphar, who put him in charge of his house. But Potiphar's wife falsely charged Joseph of attempted rape. When his master heard the words of his wife, 'This is what your slave did to me,' his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in his jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper." This chapter, chapter 40, gives us a peek into a dark day into the life of our Savior, Good Friday. The similarities are seen in the cupbearer and the baker, and the dungeon they are in. Let's look at this text, verses 1 to 4. "We can't be certain on how long Joseph has been in prison, but he has endured 11 years since his brothers sold him as a slave. And after some time serving his noble inmates, we are introduced to the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt. The chief cupbearer had total responsibility for Pharaoh's drink, from the vineyard to the cup in Pharaoh's hand. The chief baker had total responsibility for Pharaoh's bread and cakes, from the grain to Pharaoh's hand. These two officials had to be trustworthy and dedicated to ensuring that everything was free from anything that would harm their lord. History suggests an attempt was made on Pharaoh's life through poisoning, possibly resulting in the food tester, the one who samples the food before the king, gets sick, this food tester getting sick or even dying. This offended their lord, the king of Egypt. In fact, Pharaoh was furious with his two officials, these two men who are the same rank as Potiphar and most likely come from nobility. So Pharaoh put them in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard in the jail, the same place where Joseph was imprisoned. There are three different words used to describe the prison they are in. The first is the word house, which means a fixed structure made from some kind of material as a permanent dwelling place, not a tent. The first use of this word is used in describing Lot's house in Sodom, where it was a fixed structure, and that was in contrast to Abraham, who lived in tents. The word jail, which is only used here in Genesis 39 and 40. And finally, the word pit or dungeon, which is used by Joseph in verse 15. And this is where the captain of the bodyguard, who we learn from Genesis 37 was part of Potiphar, puts Joseph in charge of the cupbearer and the baker. And Joseph takes care of them, and they were in confinement for some time. Some suggest that this might have been a whole year. I get the impression that Potiphar moved his slave Joseph from serving in his house to serving in his jail, the prison for the king's prisoners. I base this on the title, "The Captain of the Guard," which was Potiphar, and verse 7 that says that they were in confinement in his master's house, and Potiphar would still be Joseph's master. The captain of the bodyguard instructs Joseph to take care of these prisoners, but Joseph serves them as though instructed by God, just as Peter would describe it in 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Do we see our work as being done for the Lord's glory? The first question I struggled with for this chapter, and I wrestled with this for a while, was what is the difference in being a slave in Potiphar's house or being a slave in his jail, besides location? Any suggestions? I have a couple of my thoughts here. My conclusion is perspective and hope. It is a lot easier to see the possibilities of God working in our lives when we can see our potential future and contribute something to it. Joseph went from, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in the house than I, to serving prisoners in a dark prison. In the house, Joseph had the slim hope of purchasing his freedom. In prison, this was impossible. Just as Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, our ancestor Adam sold us into slavery to sin for a piece of fruit. It is impossible for us to purchase our freedom from sin. Do we see ourselves as slaves? From a biblical point of view, we are all slaves, either to sin or to righteousness. The Apostle Paul states this in Romans 6, 17. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Do you see yourself as a slave to righteousness? Because if you are in Christ, you are. And that is through the power of Christ's shed blood and his Holy Spirit. One night, verses 5 to 8. One night, the cupbearer and the baker both had a dream, each man with his own dream and each dream with its own interpretation, and being confined in jail, had no one to interpret it for them. The Egyptians, as well as other cultures, practice oneirumansi, which is the divination through dreams. They had compiled books on dreams and what certain things mean, and had practitioners interpret them to shed light on how things would go for them. They deeply valued the meaning of their dreams. In the morning, when Joseph came to them and observed them, they were dejected. He asked them, "Why are your faces so sad today, as if a person in prison should be happy?" Then they said to him, "We have had a dream, and there is no one to interpret it." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" Joseph is quick to respond on a subject that he is very familiar with. The very thing that set his brothers against him, dreams. Eager to discover if his Lord is speaking to him through these men's dreams, he begs them, "Tell it to me, please." After observing the sorrow that the cupbearer and the baker showed Joseph, Joseph responds with compassion. "Why are your faces so sad today?" Do we take time to observe the well-being of others and those we interact with? And then when we do, do we take the time to care enough to ask, "How are you doing?" Sometimes we kind of don't want to. I find myself in that situation sometimes. When Joseph discovers that the cause of their sorrow is that they have no interpreter for their dreams, he points them to the only one who can, his Lord and God, and giving glory to him. This is just as Daniel does in Daniel 2:19. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and disposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we have asked of you, and you have made known to us the dream of the king." The king asked, okay, verse 26 here. King asked Daniel, also called Belshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these." I'm not going to go there. But Daniel gives full credit to God. It is easy for us all to fall into a state of depression or anxiety when things go sideways, like an illness, a dead-end job, bad marriage, being sentenced to prison like Joseph and his friends, or for execution like Daniel. Which brings us to point number one. In order for us to keep keeping on while in the dark, we do not let our circumstances dictate the direction of our faith. It is often tempting to try and find our own way out of a frightening or difficult situation, but it is essential that we seek God's way out first in prayer and in study of His Word. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." And when God delivers, we need to be faithful and ensure that we give God the glory for all we do. Joseph didn't let the fact that he was in prison keep him from serving his Lord with a good heart. Do we serve and work to be commendable before God, as Peter describes in 1 Peter 2? "Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps." Do you know this calling? Have you experienced this suffering? It is comforting to know that you are not alone, but you are loved by Christ and the fellowship of His believers. Verse 9 to 15. So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph. "In my dream, there was a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. And as it was budding, its blossoms came out, and its clusters produced ripe grapes. Now Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, so I took the grapes and squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I put the cup into Pharaoh's hand." All the imagery in the dream was familiar with the cupbearer. but he could not discern its meaning. Unlike Joseph and his family when he had his dream. In Genesis 37, 5-10, and Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Please listen to this dream which I have had, for behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood erect, and behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf." And then his brothers said to him, "Are you actually going to reign over us? Or are you really going to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dream and for his words. Now he still had another dream and related it to his brothers and said, "Lo, I've had still another dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." He related it to his father and to his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream that you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come to bow ourselves down before you on the ground?" They understood it. They didn't need an interpreter to explain the dream. They all got it right away on their own. But these Egyptian officials, they needed an interpreter. Then Joseph says, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 more days, Pharaoh will lift your head and restore you to your office, and you will put Pharaoh's cup into his hand according to your former custom when you were his cupbearer. Joseph interprets it very accurately, and then is quick to encourage him to remember Joseph. "Only keep me in mind when it goes well with you, and please do me a kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house." That word, "keep me in mind," is zakar, means to remember, to think of, mention. All the uses of this word in Genesis, up until now, have been used only by God. Genesis 8:1, "But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark, and God caused a wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided." In Genesis 9:15, "And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh." In Genesis 19:29, "Thus it came about when God destroyed the cities of the valley that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot lived." In Genesis 30:22-24, "Then God remembered Rachel, and God gave heed to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bore a son and said, 'God has taken away my reproach.' She named him Joseph, saying, 'May the Lord give me another son.'" Joseph is the first man to use this word in Scripture. And as we will see, the cupbearer will forget Joseph and his dream for quite a while. Joseph didn't have to ask him to get out of the prison. God's plan was already in action, regardless of Joseph's attempts. Which brings us to point number 2. In order for us to keep keeping on while in the dark, we need to trust God to remember us, not man. Joseph's plan for release was to put his trust in a man to remember. God is planning to use this man for Joseph's release, but Joseph should be trusting God to deliver on his promises, just like the thief on the cross. Luke 23:39. One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered and rebuked him, said, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." Jesus didn't forget the thief on the cross, and Jesus doesn't forget you. Even when we are in a dark place, David had learned this, and he shared it in one of the most famous Bible passages, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David can write this because he knows the Lord and trusts him to be with him through all situations. Verse 15, Joseph points out the injustice that has been inflicted on him. For I was in fact kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews. And even here I have done nothing that they should have put me into the dungeon. His statement gives us insight into what Joseph thought and felt about this situation. The word dungeon is the same word for the pit that his brothers threw him into, which is bor, a pit, a cistern, a well, from Genesis 37:20. Now then, come and let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits, that same word, and we will say a wild beast devoured him. Joseph puts the blame for his current situation on his brothers. He believes he is innocent, and he is right. Joseph shares the same lament as Job. Job 10:1. I loathe my own life. I will give full vent to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, do not condemn me. Let me know why you contend with me. Is it right for you indeed to oppress, to reject the labor of your hands, and to look favorably on the schemes of the wicked? Have you eyes of flesh, or do you see as a man sees? Are your days as the days of a mortal, or your years as a man's years, that you should seek for my guilt and search after my sin? According to your knowledge, I am indeed not guilty, yet there is no deliverance from your hand. The past 11 years as a slave might make Joseph ponder, what have I done to deserve this? Why do my brothers resent me and want me dead? Why do people falsely accuse me? Have you experienced these? These are situations that our Savior experienced on his dark day. Jesus did it without harboring any bitterness. Joseph is still learning to let the bitterness go. Bitterness can be all-consuming, like an addiction. I have witnessed this firsthand and have seen the destructive power it inflicts in people's lives. Paul instructs the Ephesians on this, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. I do believe that the Holy Spirit is the only one who can truly liberate us from bitterness. Hebrews 12:14, he says, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled, that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. We need to be on guard for the root of bitterness. When it appears, we need to be quick to forgive and let go. Verses 16 to 19. When the chief baker saw that he had interpreted favorably, he said to Joseph, I also saw in my dream, and behold, there were three baskets of white bread on my head. And in the top basket, there were some of all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, and the birds were eating them out of the basket in my head. He only desired Joseph's counsel after hearing the good report that Joseph gives the cupbearer. Then Joseph answered and said, This is its interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. Within three more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head. All's good so far, but from you. And you will hang on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh off you. Oops. Almost the same, but not quite. Joseph didn't have to tell him the bad news. He could have sugarcoated it. He said, yep, the king's going to restore you to your position, and he'd go up there and be hung, and that would have been the end of it. But Joseph, he does. He tells him, no, 3 days, you're going to be up there, and your head's going to be removed. It is difficult to share bad news with someone. Believe me, I know. I cannot forget the few times I've had to do this. But the hardest is telling someone that their life is coming to an end, both spiritually and physically. We need to be strong, regardless if it's hard, but we need to be compassionate. Daniel, again, he's the twin to Joseph, he's the protege. Joseph. Daniel was faithful in sharing bad news to the king in Daniel 4. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was appalled for a while as his thoughts alarmed him. The king responded and said, Belshazzar, do not let this dream or its interpretation alarm you. Belshazzar replied, my lord, if only the dream applied to those who hate you and its interpretation to your adversaries. The tree that you saw which became large and grew strong, whose height reached the sky and was visible to all the earth, and whose foliage was beautiful and its fruit abundant, and which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and in whose branches the birds of the sky lodged. It is you, O king, and you have become great and grown strong. And your majesty has become great and reached to the sky, and your dominion to the end of the earth. In that the king saw an angelic watcher, a holy one, descending from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it. Yet leave the stump with its root in the ground, but with a band of iron and bronze around it, and the new grass of the field, and let him be drenched with a dew of heaven, and let him share with the beasts of the field until seven periods of time passed over him. There. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon the Lord my king, that you may be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place be with the beasts of the field, and you will be given grass to eat and cattle, and be like cattle, and be drenched with the dew of heaven, and 7 periods of time will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whoever he wishes. And in that it was commanded to leave the stump with its roots to the tree, to the tree. Your kingdom will be assured to you after you recognize that it is heaven that rules. Therefore, O king, may my advice be pleasing to you. Break away now from your sins by doing righteousness and from your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, in case there may be a prolonging of your prosperity. In verse 28, all this happened to Nebuchadnezzar the king. Daniel was faithful in sharing this bad news to the king and even giving advice. We need to tell the truth, even if it hurts. But we have to do this with love and compassion. Which brings us to point number three. In order for us to keep keeping on while in the dark, we need to seek godly advice that directs us to Jesus. Are we challenged to be strong in spite of hardships? Paul challenges Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, 1-3. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. We should give counsel based on God's word that leads us to Jesus. Christian counseling is all about pointing to Jesus Christ through his word. It is not about imparting our wisdom, but it is about opening up God's word. I had a friend. I had a friend who told me he was going to the hospital to get checked out and went to emergency. And he wasn't going to leave until they figured out why he had these boils on his neck. A month later, after what seemed like 100 tests, he tells me that he will be going back home soon, but he couldn't explain what was happening. When I asked the doctor what his condition was, he told me that he had over 20 lesions in his brain and that he only had 6 months to live. I asked him why my friend thought he was going home, and the doctor said he told him that he wouldn't be with us much longer. He had heard, "I get to go back home." The reason I share this story is that we need to be clear. When we share our faith in Jesus, we need to make it clear that do you know that one day you will be accountable for your life? When the time comes, will you be ready to face judgment before Jesus? Do you know Jesus, and more importantly, does Jesus know you? Sometimes people like to sit there and have this, I've said the prayer in this, but we need to be straightforward and truthful with what the consequences of not knowing Jesus are. Verses 20-23. Thus it came about on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his office, and he put the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker just as Joseph had interpreted to them. On the third day, Joseph's interpretations proved to be true, and he knew that they were no longer with him in prison. But now he was certain that God was. Hosea 6:2. He will revive us after 2 days. He will rise us up on the third day that we may live before him. On the third day, one is restored to his place and the other is separated from his head. Just like the guys on the cross. Then we get down to birthday celebrations in the Bible. They're an event to be avoided. Just so you know, there are only 2 recorded birthday celebrations in the Bible, and at both, someone loses their head. There is Pharaoh's, where the baker is hung from a tree, and Herod's, King Herod, where John the Baptist finds his head on a platter. Both Matthew and Mark record this event. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Having been prompted by her mother, she said, Give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist. And so it was. And Job, in all his suffering, never cursed God, but he did curse the day of his birth. Job 3:1. Afterward, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And Job said, let the day perish on which I was to be born, and the night which said, a boy is conceived. And on that note, happy birthday, Victor. Okay. Verse 23. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. How did he forget? How is this possible? I think God kept him from remembering until the right time. He does this to me all the time. Or he might be like God's chosen people in Hosea 13, verse 4. Yet I have been the Lord your God since the land of Egypt, and you were not to know any God except me, for there is no Savior besides me. I cared for you in the wilderness, in the land of drought. As they had their pasture, they became satisfied. And being satisfied, their heart became proud. Therefore, they forgot me. We know the chief cupbearer forgot about Joseph for 2 years by the next verse. But God did not forget Joseph. Which brings us to point number 4. In order for us to keep keeping on while in the dark, we need to wait upon the Lord for his timing and his plan. God left Joseph in prison for 2 more years so that Joseph could see so that Joseph could see that it was God who placed him there, not his brothers. For Joseph to go from blaming his brothers for his current situation to encouraging them, as we see in Genesis 45, and now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. To be the leader that God wanted Joseph to be, he had to learn and understand the will of God in his life, and this required waiting. The first week after Pharaoh's birthday, Joseph would be eager to hear his name called, thinking that maybe today the butler will share with Pharaoh my plea, and then I will be free. But as weeks passed and then months, Joseph understands that it is God who allowed him to be here. And the reason he is still there is not because of his brothers, but because of his God. Waiting is one of those things that we don't like to do. And waiting patiently is almost unheard of. But it is a fruit of the Spirit. Abraham waited patiently on the Lord and saw his promise come, although he lived a long time. Hebrews 6:13, for when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply you. And so having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. In times of waiting upon the Lord, we will gain new strength. Like Isaiah 40:31 says, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Just as Joseph eagerly desired his freedom from the prison he was in, we also desire to be free from these filthy rags and to be clothed in righteousness on that great day when we receive our glorified body. Romans 8:23. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. We should remember that the timing of God's plan is not in our hands, but his. and do as the preacher says, Ecclesiastes 7:14, memory verse for today. In the day of prosperity, be happy. But in the day of adversity, consider, God has made the one as well as the other, so that man will not discover anything that will be after him. I know that there are more than a few of us who are going through dark times, and that it can be hard to understand why God has selected you to endure this struggle. You need to know that you are not alone. We can be blessed by looking at how God worked in Joseph's life. His life can encourage us to forge ahead, being confident in God's plan. We all have to keep keeping on, even while in the dark, not letting our circumstances dictate the direction of our faith, but trusting in God to remember us, not man. We need to seek godly advice that directs us to Jesus. And we need to wait upon the Lord for His timing and His plan. As Paul says in Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are a holy God. You are righteous in all your ways. And Lord, we all desire to be able to walk before you and be blameless. And Lord, we give you thanks for the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, for the way that you convict us, for the way that you strengthen us. Lord, for the way that you lead us into relationships and into situations. And Father, I thank you also for being with us when we are waiting. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, for those people who are in that dark place, Lord, who have a hard time seeing where your path is going. Father, I just pray for every one of them that you would be allowing them to know your comfort, and Lord, that allow them to know your light, that you have a plan for them, that you are with them, and Lord, that your ways are gracious, Lord, your ways are eternal, and Lord, that you love them, and Lord, that you will sustain them. And Father, we thank you for your Son who took on flesh and lived as an example for us. But more than an example, Lord, he lived the perfect life and became the perfect sacrifice for our sins, which allowed us to be free from our slavery to sin and to be free into your righteousness. Father, I just pray that you'd be with every individual here this morning. I pray that you'd be working in their hearts, leading them into your truth, allowing them to know your presence and your love in their life. We praise these things in Jesus' name.